And this morning from John's Gospel, from chapter 10, where we're going to read from verse 11 through to verse 18. Jesus speaking said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Amen. I don't know whether you like traveling or not. I've got to say, sometimes I just wish I could get from A to B without the journey in between. But then there are those occasions where you go on a journey, and actually the journey is part of the experience. I'm not sure whether I've been fortunate or not this week, but I've been down to London, I've been up to Edinburgh, I've been across here to the northwest, I've been places in the northeast. And part of those journeys has been to see the glory of the countryside. And at this time of year, to see the sheep in the fields and the lambs. And I was brought up, my grandparents came from a more rural part of County Durham, and it was one of those things. If I was in the car with my grandparents and it was lambing time, they were wanting to point out the lambs, so that I grew up with that delight in seeing the beauty of the lambs. Of course, if it was my father was a sheep worrier. His thing was to go beside a flock of sheep and shout, "Mint sauce." But as you see the sheep, and as we are thinking today about the Good Shepherd, it's very important really to understand about the Good Shepherd, to understand something about the sheep. You don't often find wild sheep, do you? I'm not sure if there's anywhere in the world. I haven't been able to find out whether you can have, whether there are any flocks of wild sheep. In Northumberland, I know that there's still a herd of wild cattle. And so I know you can get wild cattle, but I don't know if you ever find wild sheep. Now, I'm not suggesting they come at you rather fiercely, or that they go around on a drunken rampage, but sheep flourish when they are in the care of a shepherd. And when we think about the good shepherd, and when we think about the sheep, and let's make no mistake, when Jesus was talking, we are the sheep. It's not something that Jesus introduced that was new. It's a theme that goes through the Bible. And it was lovely that Christine read the 23rd Psalm, and what a blessing that has been to so many people through the years, written by a shepherd, but speaking of God's care for his people. And this theme that God's people are sheep should make us think a little more about the sheep, so that we can then understand more about the shepherd. Sheep, on the whole, don't actually live in the easiest parts of the countryside. Oh, it's nice to get the cattle on the lower pastures and all the rest of it, but sheep, on the whole, are up on the hills. The sheep are the ones who go into the places where so often other animals can't survive. And that says something about where God wants us to be as his people. Not in the comfortable places, but in the difficult places, in the places where others won't go. In the places where others perhaps cannot cope, cannot survive. And the call of God to his people is to be sheep under his care, but sheep who will go into those difficult places in the world. The shepherd does not provide everything for the sheep. To think again of farming, we have battery hens. And the hens are kept there in their cages, and the food is provided for them, and the temperature is monitored to a certain level, and they are looked after in that cage, so that they can produce eggs. But the sheep are given by the shepherd a level of freedom. A level of freedom to go within boundaries where the sheep want to. Now, I'm told that in the Middle East, the sort of pasture that there is, part of the shepherd's job is to make sure that the sheep don't go into dangerous areas. But the shepherd leads them from pasture to pasture, from one area of grass to another, but they have the freedom to roam, whilst the shepherd just watches out for those dangerous places. And we can look and we can sometimes be amazed as we journey to see sheep in places where we think, well, I'm not sure how they've got up there and I'm not sure how they're going to get back down. But given a level of freedom to wander under the gaze, under the protection of the shepherd. And again, that speaks to us, I hope, and I believe it should speak to us, about the freedom that God gives us. Not every day telling us exactly what we should do and exactly where we should go. I knew somebody a few years ago who used to wake up on a morning and pray that the Lord would tell her whether or not she should get out of bed, and then would pray whether or not she should go and do work, and whether or not she should do this or do that. I might say she wasn't very employable, it ought to be said. One of her other little tricks, which I don't think and I couldn't persuade her, but I don't think that this is really what the Lord wants, was that she would just launch out in crossing a road on the basis that the Lord would protect her. Well, the Lord gives us eyes and ears to... But there are those people who on the one hand would have the Lord tell us absolutely everything, and if the Lord hasn't told me to do it, but the Lord gives us the principles, sets out where we should go and where we shouldn't go. It's here in Scripture. It's not every minute of every day being told exactly what to do, but it's the freedom within the boundaries of what he has set before us. And sheep flourish when they're under the care of a shepherd. A shepherd who allows them to go into those difficult places. Because actually that's what they've been created to live in. Sheep flourish when they go within the bounds of what the shepherd has set for them. With those freedoms whilst being watched over and on occasions perhaps hedged or walled in. And sheep flourish when they're in flocks. There are some animals that live on their own. But sheep are always to be found in flocks living together. And perhaps it's a silly thing to say to those who are here today, and maybe it's a message for those who don't come as often as they might, to meet together with other Christians, that as Christians, God wants us to live in a relationship with one another. He wants us to be a flock. He wants us to be a living and working together, not going off on our own, not isolating ourselves from the rest of God's people. Because the danger is when we isolate ourselves from God's people, we lay ourselves open to the attack. In Jesus' day and in what Jesus was saying, he was speaking of wolves. Now, I know there was some talk a few years ago of reintroducing wolves into this country. And I'm not sure whether it actually happened. I have a feeling there was a bit of a trial down in the southwest. I don't know whether it went ahead or they just talked about it. But I know there was concern that if wolves were reintroduced, what would happen to sheep? Because they live in the same sort of areas. And the wolves look for the vulnerable. And the wolves look for the lonely. The wolves look to pick those off who are not part of the flock, who are a little distanced from the flock, because it's easier to get someone on their own. And the devil knows that if he can get us away from God's people, then he has the advantage. The devil knows that if he can keep us from fellowship with other Christians and the support of other Christians, then he has a much better chance of being able to damage and destroy us. Just as the wolf would go for the vulnerable and the lonely and the isolated sheep. And of course, what could be better for a wolf than to get right into the middle of a flock? Jesus spoke about it, didn't he? About the wolf attacking the flock and scattering it. Why does he scatter it? because then he can attack one at a time. Then he can take one after another away. And the devil wants to separate and wants to divide the flock, just as the wolf would want to do that. Now, if we'd read the passage before, and if we'd been thinking about Jesus as the gate, we would have thought about that sheep pen. We would have thought about the way in which the shepherd at night, in those days, in that culture, would gather the sheep into a pen. And these pens might be scattered around the various parts of the pasture. And the shepherd would get them in at night when the wolf was most likely to be prowling. When it would be easier in the dark for the wolf to be able to attack. Somebody was telling me the other day, they have, I can't remember what sort of dog he said it was, but it's huge. This dog is absolutely huge. And the chap who was telling me, he's a builder. And he takes his dog onto the building site and he has, you know, one of those high visibility jackets. Well, he's had to get the largest size possible to put onto the dog. And this builder's quite big, but he's had to get the biggest size possible to put onto the dog. And the dog sits on the building site while he's working. But he said he'd taken the dog out for a walk and he'd been in an area which was a bit dark and a bit lonely. And the dog had started to growl. It was dark and he was alone with this dog and the dog was growling. Now, he knows the dog wouldn't hurt him. In fact, he's told me, if a Yorkshire Terrier came up and barked at this great big dog, it would run away. But part of the nature of this dog is to be a guard dog rather than an attack dog. And so it will always come back to protect. But the growling of the dog and the darkness of the night, despite knowing how big this dog is, and how strong this dog is and how protective this dog is, in the dark, this great big builder was afraid. Now, the truth of it was, apparently, the dog had spotted a courting couple and the courting couple were as afraid as he was. But he couldn't wait to get out of the way. And we know what it's like in the dark. And in the dark, the wolf can come along, can creep up and get in to attack. But within the pen, the shepherd would sit, would lie across to be the gate, to stop entrance to the flock, and to protect all those that were inside. Because if the wolf could just get in, if the wolf could just get in and make them scatter, then he could pick off different sheep or lambs and could have his fill. And the devil would do that as well. The devil would like to separate us from the flock so that he can attack us. So that he can get at us and damage or destroy our faith. But Jesus, in speaking to these people, so many of whom knew more intimately than us about sheep and shepherds, Jesus spoke of being the good shepherd. Now, although throughout Scripture we find shepherds and sheep spoken of, actually at the time when Jesus was speaking, shepherds were sort of on the edge of society. Because they had to be out with the sheep, they were not able to go to worship. They weren't able to go because they needed to be with the sheep. But even if they weren't with the sheep, because they'd been with the sheep, they weren't considered clean. Now, they possibly were not physically clean and might have smelt a bit. But that wasn't what it was about. It was because they'd been with the sheep, because they'd been with the animals, because they had been doing all that they needed to do to look after the sheep, they actually made themselves unclean and not able to go to worship. And so shepherds were seen as those on the edge of society. And that's one of the reasons why we should rejoice that the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came to the shepherds, to those who were on the edge of society, because it tells us that none of us is too near the edge for God not to be bothered and for that news not to be for us. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He's not saying I'm the clean shepherd. He's not saying I'm the one that's had nothing to do with the sheep and I'm the one that's had unclean ceremonially, not the one who's, because I've looked after the sheep, can't go to worship. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I'm the one who loves and cares for and protects and will do anything for my sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In my work, my working life, I'm an accountant. And I've told numerous people that I don't intend to go to jail for myself. I'm not going to do something wrong that ends up with me in jail. And I'm definitely not going to go to jail because somebody else is dishonest. I'm not prepared to do it for myself, so I'm not prepared to do it for them. So if they want to be dishonest, find another accountant. Because I don't want to go to jail for me, much less somebody else. But Jesus says, actually, I'm prepared to lay down my life to protect my sheep. I'm prepared to give up that which is the most precious gift that any of us has so that I can look after those in my care. You and me. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has laid down his life. And we've celebrated. And we've commemorated. We've celebrated the victory that Jesus won at the cross and commemorated the price that he paid for our salvation in laying down his life. We've celebrated the new life which Jesus brought with the resurrection and which he offers to us. And Jesus is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for you and for me. That everything, but everything that we have done wrong might be forgiven. That the devil might seek to accuse us all he likes. But as far as God is concerned, the price has been paid. The ransom for our sins and all our wrongdoing. All that would mean that we are separated from God is as if it had never happened. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for you and for me. When Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, he's not saying, I'm the Good Shepherd, this is the bad shepherd, although he does make the analogy between the hired hand and the shepherd. When he says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying, I am the only shepherd, the ideal shepherd, the perfect shepherd. I am the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Because just as I said, I'm not going to Jill. It's not worth it for me to be dishonest. And I'm not going to go to jail for somebody else. I don't know whether you've ever been in a position of having a significant amount of money. When I worked in Manchester many, many moons ago, I once had to carry a cheque which was for £250,000. And it's the largest cheque I've ever had to deal with, I've ever seen, had anything to do with. And, you know, even though it was a cheque, and so it was worthless in many ways unless it was presented at a bank, with that cheque, you might say I guarded it with my life. Where I went, that cheque went. That cheque went to bed with me because I had to keep it overnight and then take it somewhere else the next day. But you know, if somebody had broken in and asked for it, I wasn't going to die for it. More money than I could ever imagine, but I wasn't going to die for it. Not worth it to me. But you and I are worth it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are worth that price for the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who doesn't just protect his sheep, but is prepared to die that they might have life. And provides for us all that we need and all that we could ever need. So today, as we meet, and perhaps more importantly as we go away from here, I hope that you will think about not only Jesus the Good Shepherd, but you the sheep. You might call yourself Eunice or Barbara. You might wish to be Rambo. But think about yourself as the sheep under the care of the Good Shepherd. A sheep, yes, to live in places where it's difficult and where others can't survive. Yes, a sheep which is given freedom to be able to go within the boundaries that the shepherd has set. But a sheep that's intended to be part of a flock. A sheep that's intended to stick close to that flock, lest the wolf, the devil, might come and try and pick us off and take us away from God. And damage or destroy. Who wants to make sure that we don't scatter, but stick together, because that's the way the Good Shepherd is able to protect us. Because the Good Shepherd provides for us day by day and moment by moment. The Good Shepherd protects us. And more than that, he laid down his life for each and every one of us. When we realize just what God has done for us, then we'll be able to worship, to love and to adore the one who is our Good Shepherd, who cares and protects and provides, and who gave himself that we might have life, abundant and eternal. Amen.